Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, but now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. Have the covenants of God changed? Do they now pertain to all people, or do they still only pertain to Israel? Join the body of Christ Church as we discuss this topic.
We give all praises to the Most High, to His only begotten Son, Christ, that we have the wherewithal and the opportunity to come out and teach His uncensored word according to what is written in the scriptures. We teach the Bible as it is written in the scriptures, and how do you know a man is teaching according to the scriptures? I'll read it. Read it from the
Isaiah chapter 8, verses 20.
Uh-huh.
To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no life in them.
So now, what that's going into, that's basically saying, it means what it says according to the gospel, that if you're not speaking according to the law and testimony, that's what the word is comprised of, you're not dealing with the light. That light is Christ. Having said that, giving all praises again to the Most High through His Son Christ, what we're going to do is we're going to go into a topic today, and what we're going to deal with is we're going to deal with the covenant that the Most High made with His people. And because in the earth today, there's like many teachings and religions developed on the fact that the Most High is coming to save all nations and everybody can fit in His covenant. And this covenant is for all people and all mankind, so on and so forth. But the salvation is for particular people because He made the covenants with a particular people, a peculiar people, as the scripture said. So it doesn't matter what man says. It goes back to what did the Most High say, and what did He mean? Matter of fact, get the scripture in Psalms 33 and 4. Let's start with there first. Start with that scripture first. Because there's a lot of people that say a lot of things, and if they go into the scriptures, to back up what they're saying so that they're justified according to the word of the God, what they do, they pervert the scriptures. Oh, Jews and Gentiles alike, this is for everybody. Right? That's what they do. When the scriptures tell you that consistently in the scriptures that the Most High chose a nation of people to be His people, and those people are the ones in the end that's going to be blessed, the ones that take heed to the covenant, they're going to be blessed. When you look in the scriptures, you see an old covenant and a new covenant. But the covenant people never changed, did they?
Nope.
Okay, so that's what the Bible says. But in the world, what they're teaching is all mankind is doctrine of this Christianity that's from the doctrine of men. It's not based on the word of the Most High, and hopefully there'll be a series of classes based on the covenant will show our people what they need to look and understand and examine according to what the scriptures say. Read the scripture, brother.
Psalms 33, verses 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth.
Mm-hmm. So now, what the scripture says is the word of the Lord is right. Man is not right. The word of the Lord is right. So if we want to be right with him, we need to go by his right words and deal with what his right words are indicating and saying to us. So what we're going to deal with is we're going to deal with the covenant that the Most High made with his people. And we're going to discuss who those people are and how that covenant has been reconciled to those people in Christ. All right? So now, first of all, let's look at this. We look at the covenant. What is a covenant? The definition simply of a covenant is an agreement between two parties. Right? A covenant is basically like sometimes you do a contract. It's an agreement between two parties. Now, when you really look at it, let's deal with something here. Let's show you something here. Let's go to Exodus, the 24th chapter. All right. We'll go to this scripture. Exodus, the 24th chapter. And I want you to start at verse, I think it's 4.
Okay.
Yeah, start there.
Exodus chapter 24, verses 4. Okay. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill. 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay, so now, who is this? This is pertaining to Moses and the children of Israel, which were what? 12 tribes of Israel, which were the nation that the Most High builded up through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had the 12 sons,
right,
who were the fathers of 12 tribes of Israel,
right,
the nation. Right. All right? So now he's doing this, and this pertaining to who? The nation of Israel. Go ahead.
Exodus 24, verses 5. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm, you know.
And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient.
So now, what is that showing you? The covenant was a written document.
Right.
Based on what? Ordinances that the Most High said, if you follow this nation of Israel, I'm going to be your God, so on and so forth. This is what you must do. This is what you must refrain from. We readily know them as what? The law, statutes, and commandments. But that's what the covenant, our agreement, and you can see, the people entered into an agreement with who?
With the Lord. God.
Right. So he didn't deal with any other nations concerning this.
Nope.
Right? They entered into an agreement with the Most High, the people, the chosen seed of Israel, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they would be obedient unto what? The book of the covenant, right?
Right.
So now, when you look at that, what is he talking about, the book of the covenant? Go to Exodus 34, read verses 27 through 28.
Exodus chapter 34, verses
mm-hmm.
27.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words have I made a covenant with thee and with Israel.
So now, the book of the covenant is what the Israelites agreed to do what? Follow.
Oh, right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, read on.
Exodus chapter 34, verses 28.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote upon the tables of, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
So now we know the Ten Commandments is a guideline for all the precepts and statutes that come based on the words of the Most High.
Right.
Right? So now we can see what this book of the covenant was about, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was about the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High.
Right?
Right.
Right.
That's why the scriptures say in Isaiah 8:20 to the law and to the testimony. Because what are those testimonies basically guiding us to? The word of the Most High. How to follow him at his mouth. So now, these people that the Most High chose, according to what the Bible is showing us, in the wilderness, he made a what? Covenant with them, right?
Right.
Okay, let's jump up before we get back, because people go, oh, what does that mean? Right? Go to Hebrews the 8th chapter real quick. Hebrews the 8th chapter. What does that mean? What does that? How does that pertain to us? So remember now, he made a covenant with us, right?
Right.
The Israelites. And see, what the problem is our people are so destroyed mentally, they have no idea that we bear the signs of the curses that would beset the Israelites, these chosen people that the Most High made the covenant with. Why are we in the conditions that we're in? Because we made the agreement with the Most High that everything he said, according to what was written in the books of the law and his commandments, that we will do what? We will be obedient. When you go back to Exodus 24, verses 4 through 7, right?
Right.
And then it shows you what that book was based on, what the covenant, that book of the covenant was. It tells you it was the agreement that we would follow his commandments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now people go, well, what does that mean? Well, we don't get an understanding, a clear picture. Why are we in the condition we in this earth? The power has been stripped from us. Why? Because we were disobedient to what?
To the word of the Lord.
The covenant.
Right.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Exactly. It's the same thing. People get it twisted. But now, has Christ came and changed it so it's spinning around for all people?
Nope.
Let's read the scripture now. Read Hebrews, the 8th chapter.
Verses 10.
Start at verse 6, please. We're going to read down, because we're going to keep going back to this scripture, because we got to keep referring to it. Because our people have been misled, and they're following doctrines of men, and not following the what? True words that are written in the scriptures. The Most High is not on crack, where he's choosing a nation of people and saying that this is an everlasting covenant.
Right.
And then he flips up in the middle of somewhere, has a bad dream, and hits the crack pipe, and then say, well, it's going to all nations, all mankind. No, first to the Jews, you're right. First, but then everybody. No, it is not administered or set on anyone else other than the Israelites. The other people will fall in subjection, but they don't have any place with this covenant. The Most High is choosing one nation of people. And they have to get it right so the world can get back right. So read Hebrews 8, start at verse 6, please.
Hebrews 8, verses 6.
Mm-hmm.
But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is he the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
So now, it's still dealing with what? A covenant.
Right.
Let's see if the covenant changed. And if the people change, because the covenant is still the same covenant, it's based on better promises, because what is Christ showing us how to do?
He's showing us how to get our mindsets right so we can, you know, serve the Lord truly how the Lord wants us to serve him.
And be obedient to his word.
To his word,
to that book of the covenant that he wrote, right?
Because before, mm-hmm. we were just going through the motions and we weren't really obedient.
Exactly, right. That's why we ended up in a cursed condition.
Right.
And a lot of our people don't even understand that we as a people are cursed. You know, cargo slave ships in the slave trade was not something that just happened because of this and that, what they come up in the world. It's a curse of the Most High on his people for being what? Disobedient.
Right.
And we'll read that, Lord willing. Go ahead.
All right. Hebrews chapter 8,
mm-hmm.
verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second.
So now, there wasn't nothing wrong with the actual covenant, because the word of the Most High is right. That's what the covenant was based on. We agreed to be his people under these conditions. That's what a contract is. We said we would be obedient unto his word. So now, when we became disobedient, there were consequences. That's the fault of the first covenant. It wasn't the actual covenant. It was the people that the covenant applied to or pertained to. Read on.
Okay, Hebrews chapter 8, mm-hmm. verses 8.
Mm-hmm.
For finding fault with them.
There you go. Finding fault with the Israelites. Read on.
He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
No, let's change that. The Lord says that he will make a new covenant with all nations and everybody, all mankind, just alike.
Nope.
That's exactly. Read the scripture, brother.
It says, verse, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8. Mm-hmm. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
So keep reading.
Just one quick point. So the reason why it says with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah is because at the time the kingdom of Israel was split
exactly.
into two kingdoms. It's not talking about two different sets of people.
Right, exactly.
It's all the same.
The north and the south kingdom.
Right. It's all the same people.
Right.
But Hebrews 8, verses 9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord.
So what happened? Because we didn't deal with him right and follow what we said, we didn't keep up our end of the bargain. It's just like any other contract.
Right.
When you don't keep up your end of the bargain, what? There's a penalty. So now, what happened? We broke the covenant, so he had to bring in a new covenant for the same people, mind you, the Israelites, based on better promises. We understand that that was who coming?
Christ coming, right.
That's why it says he's a mediator of a better covenant up in verse 6. Read on.
Mm-hmm.
So the people never change. So this all mankind madness is a lie. That is not the truth according to the scriptures. I don't give a darn who professes knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. If they're teaching you that this document, this Bible, and these blessings and this covenant is for all mankind, that's foolishness. And you can't prove that in the scriptures because we're reading it right here. Go ahead, read on.
All right, mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10.
Mm-hmm.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord.
So he's making the covenant with who?
With the nation of Israel.
After what days? With the base state that Israel is in. And what after those days is when we do what? Repent and start to realize our understanding of who we are and what our responsibility is according to the covenant that he made.
Right.
And we stop to sin and go against the covenant. This is what he's going to establish. That's how he's establishing the new covenant. Mm-hmm. Read on, brother. Read it again.
Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10.
Mm-hmm.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord.
Right.
I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
So now it comes back to us being obedient to what? His word. Just like it was in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what was that agreement? What did we agree to do?
We agreed to be obedient to his word.
When you go back to Exodus 24, 4 through 7, and Exodus 34, 27 to 28, the covenant was based, the agreement we entered into with the Most High, for him to be our God and us to be his chosen people was what? That we would be obedient unto his word. So now the new covenant is based on what? Putting his laws and his words in our minds, and that we quit being stiff-necked and rebellious. How do we do that? With the mechanism that we control 120-130% our mind.
Mm-hmm.
What was Christ teaching us?
That we should learn how to follow the Most High in that right mindset.
Exactly. Get your mind right to follow what? The words of the Most High.
Right.
Ye have heard it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, we all know what that is. But what was Christ standing on us completing or being perfected in that?
He was showing us not even to have those thoughts in your mind.
Exactly. That's what our people are lacking in understanding the observation of following the word of the Most High. What do? We get a thimbleful of knowledge and try to get deep.
Right.
Then we try to bring our own program forth in our pride. All mankind. This is for all mankind and this and that. No, it's not.
Right.
The covenant was made with a chosen people that has to wake up, put on their identity, quit being rebellious, and be obedient unto the words of the Lord.
On that point. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, because then this is going to bring out exactly what's been said.
Exactly.
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 30.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give a little history, if you don't know. Again, this is Moses dealing with the children of Israel in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And he's exhorting them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30 says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee. So, when it says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, all the curses that were written in the law that would befall us, meaning one of some of the things is we would be in captivity under the rest of the nations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you see now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So he said, when all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days,
mm-hmm.
the latter days meaning the last days, and we're in the last days now
mm-hmm.
because the last days came when Christ came on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It says, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. So we heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says, if thou turn to the Lord thy God. So if we repent, right, from
mm-hmm.
our wickedness.
What did Christ come teach you?
Repentance. Right. And shalt be obedient unto his voice. Because
mm-hmm.
remember, we said that before in Exodus, that we'd be obedient unto his voice. Right? It says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God,
mm-hmm.
and he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he swear unto them.
Sure.
So God is not going to forget the covenant that he made with our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
He's not going to forget that, even in this time now.
Exactly.
And it's also showing that it didn't change with the nation of people.
Right.
He didn't say, okay, well, even in the latter days when you go in these nations, because you did that, I'm going to establish my covenant with this nation.
Right.
He didn't do that.
Right.
He said, if you turn and obedient unto my voice, then
right.
his voice is going to be merciful.
Exactly. So now, let's go back now. When we read in Hebrews 8 and 10, by the way, this prophecy, what Paul was writing in this epistle, was not nothing new. This was something that was given to Jeremiah. Because
right.
when you read the 10th verse in Hebrews 8, I'm just going to prove the point. Hebrews 8, verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So now, how we return to the Most High is based on how we execute his word, his laws, his statutes, and commandments. How we received in the covenant that we agreed upon, the contract that we made was back in Exodus 24, verses 4 through 7, is that we would be obedient unto the book of the covenant. What was the book of the covenant? When you read Exodus 34, 27 through 28, it tells you. The Most High's Ten Commandments, statutes, laws, and so on and so forth.
Right?
So now, when we read this in Hebrews 8, this wasn't new. He got it. The Most High showed Jeremiah what he told the prophet. Excuse me. So, Paul, the same thing he told the prophet Jeremiah. And I'll read it. It says here, Isaiah, Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. You read this whole 31st chapter, because I'm going to skip around, and you'll get an understanding. Hebrews 8 is mirroring Jeremiah 31, and it didn't change. So now, let's read. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. That is what was restated
right.
in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in the New Testament, verses 6 through 10, specifically verse 10. Now, let's go to Jeremiah 31, verse 1. Jeremiah 31, verse 1 reads, the chapter we just read that out where Paul was dealing with the Hebrews in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. Jeremiah 31, verse 1. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. So now, who is he dealing with?
He's dealing with the one nation of people, the nation of Israel.
Yeah, all the families of Israel. Why? Because the nation increased from Jacob to 12 sons to what? A whole multitude.
Right.
But they're still family based on what? Genealogy. And these people still are in the earth. They're not being the people that you're lied to and told about with names like Rosenblum and Blumenthal and this and that over in that land.
Right.
That's not the people, because those people don't bear the signs of captivity and curse after curse. Oh, you can't say that. They've won over in that land and this and that. Because you're not reading your Bible. That's why you say that. So now, when you really examine this thing, right? It's for the nation of Israel, and the promises were for that nation. Matter of fact, let's go back in the scripture. Everything that happened, let's go to the New Testament. Because you got a lot of non-believers that don't think that the New Testament and the Old Testament go together. Go to Romans, the 9th chapter. Okay, yeah, just go Romans there.
9. Right.
Romans 9. You
want to start at...
Verse 1. Start at verse 1. Right. And just read on there.
Romans chapter 9, verses 1.
Mm-hmm.
I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost.
Let me just say this. That foolishness, but reason Paul said this is because he's a liar. Some doctrines teach that. Just so he's not dealing with his own program like these doctrines of men, these denominations, churches, Baptists, Pentecostal, the Roman Catholic Church, and all these other churches. They're not dealing with the truth that's in Christ.
Right.
They're dealing with what? Precepts and doctrines of men, because it goes against what we're going to read right here. This is what Paul is letting us know. That's what's important for us, the Bible. We're not telling you what we feel and think, or making statements that we're not pulling right out of the scriptures. That go what? Consistent throughout the whole Bible. That's why we're going from the old to the new, because the Bible said the same thing over and over again. Read the scripture, brother.
Romans 9, verses 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not.
Mm-hmm.
My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites,
okay.
to whom pertaineth the adoption.
Wait a minute. The Israelites. Pertainers mean it belongs to them, right?
Right.
The adoption is what? Christ coming, adopting us back to the Father as what? Sons and daughters.
Exactly.
Right? But it's a thing, something that we have to do. He didn't make wave his magic wand to make that happen. Go ahead.
It says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption,
mm-hmm.
and the glory, and the covenant, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises?
Mm-hmm.
Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen.
Well, that don't say that, because he said to the Jew first, then the Gentile, and this and that, and that. So it's all nations, and everybody can come in? No. It means what it says, and that's what's been said through the what? From the beginning of the Bible to the end.
Amen.
These things that happen, Christ coming in the flesh, the covenants is what we have to be dealing with, the adoption, the giving of the law, the service of God. Whose are the fathers? Why? Because the promises were made to who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was the father of the 12 tribes. And that promise and all these things that pertain to them went to them, thus saith the Lord. You can come in here and make noise and yell and scream and jump up and down and yell and everybody come on, there's all nations of light and everything is this and that. But there's only one true chosen nation. That's it. And these things pertain to the Israelites even to this very day. Let me read another scripture, because it says here, Romans 11, verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Who? The nation of Israel sins. Who is the deliverer? Christ. How is he turning ungodliness away from Jacob?
Teaching us repentance.
Exactly. And that's how we were going to put his laws in our mind and our inward parts. And we were going to do it. Why? Because Christ was saying, get your mind right, nation.
Right.
You understand? That's what it is. That's what the covenant is based on. This is specifically dealing with the covenants that the Most High made with his nation Israel, because there's a lot of foolishness being taught in the earth that the blessings and the promises of the fathers from Abraham through Isaac to Jacob somehow kind of got passed on to all mankind, and that he's dealing with everyone alike, and he doesn't have a chosen nation. They've been done away with because of this and that. That's foolishness. Because now when we check the scriptures are going to show us that the Most High meant what he said about enduring in his covenant for forever, right? Give me real quick, Exodus 11, real quick. Let me check something here. Exodus 24, 4 through 7.
Okay.
Why don't you read that? We're just going to do a quick review about the covenants of the Most High.
Okay, Exodus chapter 24, and you said starting at 4?
start at 4, yeah.
Exodus chapter 24, starting at 4. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient.
So now, part of this understanding of the covenant is get the understanding of what it is and what it entails.
Mm-hmm.
A covenant is a contract, meaning agreement between two people. The Most High entered into a covenant, an agreement between two parties, himself and the chosen nation of the Most High, coming through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right?
Yep.
This is what he did. And what part of this covenant entailed was, we just read it in Exodus 24, verse 7, that Moses read from the book of the covenant, right, and read it in the audience of the people so that they would know what their end of the bargain was, right?
Exactly.
See, because when you sign a contract, it means that one party has a responsibility and another party has a responsibility. Our responsibility was to do what? Obey the book of what?
The covenant.
All right. That's one of the things, that we were going to be a covenant people. All right. Go to Exodus 34. Just read 27 and 28, and then I'm going to read something in Psalms.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus 34, 27 and 28. And the Lord said unto
34 and 27 and 28. I'm sorry.
That's what I said.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Exodus 34, 27 and 28.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables of the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
Okay, so now, what was the book of the covenant? The law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. Starting first with what? The general guide is what?
The Ten Commandments.
So now, all the statutes and understanding of the judgments, the covetousness, the things we are to avoid, the lying, dealing with our brothers right, loving the Most High, is firmly grounded where? In the Ten Commandments. Christ did it with what, too? Love the Most High with all your heart, your mind, your body, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. They go hand in hand.
Yes.
When you look at the tenor, like he used, of the Ten Commandments, what? The Book of the Covenant. It's all the things that concern what? Honoring and respecting the Most High, and then doing what? Honoring and respecting and loving your brother. When you go through the commandments, it goes right north. Things that go what? Against dealing with the Most High, and things that go against dishonoring yourself and dealing with defrauding your brother. So now, there's a whole lot of things that go in between, because the statutes and the commandments, they all go together to what? Make us understand how we are to walk right in his sight. That's the agreement we entered into.
Mm-hmm.
We saw in Exodus 24, starting at verse 4, he made the book of the covenant, and we agreed that we would obey all the words in that book. Now, what was the book of the covenant based on? It was based on his law, statutes, and commandments. That's what comes out in Exodus 34, 27 through 28. Now, a lot of times people have been taught, and it's brainwashing, basically, what it is. It's a trick of Satan. It's a tool of Satan. And the world can say, well, now it's all mankind, because for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that all should be saved, right?
Yes,
you go to any sports arena, you see John 3:14, I think it is.
3:16,
here you go. Mm-hmm. Right? But they don't read John 3:14.
Yeah,
they read John 3:14.
It links back to Numbers 21,
exactly.
I think it was, which shows you that the snake, Moses raised up that emblem, that ensign for the people back then, to the children of Israel.
Right, exactly. Christ is being raised up to
the same way.
The same people, too.
Exactly.
All right, now we're going to read it here in Psalms. I'm going to Psalms 111, and I'm just going to read verse 9. Because people have said this covenant that he made with the children of Israel, somewhat changed and got flipped around, right? So, listen, we did two scriptures to show you that the covenant agreement was only entered into, not all nations, not all people, but the nation of Israel and the Most High. Then we showed you what was the thing that we have to get an understanding on. Our part of the bargain, we miserably followed. We just went against it. We said we would obey everything that was written in what? The book of the covenant, which is what? His commandments.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Moses was giving us and showing us the precepts to live by according to the Most High. So now, did it change or did it go away? Psalms 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. So now, what does that show? The covenant is not going to diminish or go away or disappear or change. The covenant is the covenant that he made with the Israelites, and it's still the covenant that he made with the Israelites. What did it mean by it saying he sent redemption unto his people? He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. It don't matter how much we screw up. He's going to make a way for his covenant to be what? Realized and completed with the people that he chose to do it with and complete it with.
Exactly.
So now, how did he send redemption to his people so that his covenant can be an everlasting covenant? Go to Romans 11 real quick. This is just a review and we're going to continue on from here. Romans 11, read verses 26 and 27 for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 11, 26 and 27.
Right. Read that, please.
And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
That's how he sent redemption to his people. So his covenant, exactly. Christ is the deliverer.
Yes.
Right? Read on now.
Okay. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 11, verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins.
So what's going to happen? Christ is going to come show that covenant people how to do what?
Live righteously and perfectly in this, through his teachings.
Right.
And receive atonement for their sins and ignorance by his sacrifice.
Right.
And then get into the kingdom and
right.
have everything set up.
Repent.
Yep.
Basically what it is.
It was through repentance like it was when Moses gave them the covenant in the first way because they were all caught up into the ways of Egypt.
Exactly.
So they had to repent from that and live right.
Exactly. According to what? The covenant that they... He said, listen, I did all this redemption for you. I saved you out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I require of you.
Yep.
Okay? This is an agreement. You understand? Yep. I'll be your God and you'll be my people if you follow these conditions. Did the conditions for that people change or did the circumstances or conditions of the covenant change?
No, it's the people that messed up because they wanted to their own own things. They weren't obeying those words and commandments that describe a certain lifestyle that they had to lead.
Exactly, based on the word of the Most High,
exactly.
to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. And we know that light is Christ. Because when you examine the scriptures, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, from verses 1 to 4, tells you in the wilderness we were dealing with who?
Christ.
When you really read it for yourself, 1 Corinthians 1, 10. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, start at verse 1. When you get down to 4, when Moses was dealing with them spiritually, what they were being built up on and edified with and nourished with was the what? Spiritual understanding of the Most High, but it was who dealing with us with it?
Christ.
So now, when you deal with this, it's still Christ today.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he came in the form of a man and did the things that he did, all this comes back to us dealing in Christ right to get right with the Most High. That's all this is. So now, the covenant is still what? Attached to the same people
exactly.
that it was from the beginning when the covenant was made. There is no other scripture in the Bible where you see the Most High entering into a covenant with any other people. But what has happened? Because the world has come in, and man has many devices on his heart, he has what? Basically blinded the very elect to them thinking that they're what? Something other than the elect. What? We're scattered all over.
Mm-hmm.
that's part of the covenant, isn't it? Because
yes.
For obedience, we were going to get blessings, right? Yes. For disobedience, what we're going to get?
Scattered throughout the four corners of the world in captivity.
Curses.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Those are part of the curses. But our people don't understand that because they haven't been indoctrinated with something else. So let's continue on. So now when we look at it is, now we just read in the scriptures showing you what the covenant was, how it was an agreement between two parties, mainly the Most High and Israel, and how in the New Testament, when you read Romans 11, it talks about all Israel being saved, the ones that what, repent?
Exactly.
And that's the, based on the covenant that the Most High made with his people, Jacob, Israel, right? So now when you look at it, is there any other covenant people? No. Let's go to Psalms. I'm going to go to Psalms real quick. 105. Psalms 105, real quick. Is there any other covenant people or chosen people of the Lord? Psalms 105, I'll start at verse 6. Psalms 105, starting at verse 6, it says, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Jacob's name will change to Israel, right?
Exactly.
As a sign between him and the Most High that that was his people and his covenant that he was
and
making.
It was continual. From Abraham on through Isaac and through Jacob and his seed.
Now, Abraham had more sons, right?
But it wasn't through any other but Isaac.
It came through Isaac, then Jacob. It says, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant for what? Forever. We just read that earlier. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob, Israel, for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. So now, how do you get around the word of the Most High showing you throughout the whole scriptures that this covenant pertains and belongs to one group of people on this planet? It's who the Most High said was his nation. Not through DNA of this world, not through them saying no, but through the scriptures. Because you know what's amazing to me? Whenever you watch like the history channels, documentaries on the lost tribes of Israel, they're going to prove it. They don't use the scriptures most of the time.
Oh, no, never that. Why would they want to do that?
They use DNA, history books, and so on and so forth. And then when they use the scriptures, they always leave something out, captivity. Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the signs that it would be on his people. What are we in now as a people?
Captivity.
Right. We think, well, we're free. No, you're not free because you're not in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think you're free, don't pay your taxes and see what happens.
Don't register that car you just bought.
Exactly. That's not freedom. Because, everybody needs, no, this man-made society based on what? Babylon. That's what we're in. We're under captive to Babylon. You understand? Because Rome, all those captivities, Rome ended up being what? The mirror image of what? Babylon. And we're still here.
Mm-hmm. And
so now.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, and you look in, I'm not sure where it is, but it's in Revelations, you probably know, it says the place that was spiritually called Babylon and Sodom, because you had the same wickedness from Babylon.
Exactly.
And you also had all the sexual perversion
right.
and all that stuff going on that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was telling our people to come out of that.
Right.
But that,
I don't know where it's at.
But
it's in Revelations 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah,
like
but, you know, we can find it, but that's not,
okay.
That's not the point of the topic. The point is that when you call yourself religious according to the Bible, you have to go according to the Bible,
right.
Especially our people. But now we went into the scriptures here. The scriptures came out. We didn't have a Bible closed and wave it around and wave lighters around and stuff like that and trying to prove something out of our mouth. We let the Bible define its own terms.
Right.
Now, we went through Psalms 105, 6 through 10, mm-hmm. The covenant is forever.
Right.
But people that have been blinded
mm-hmm.
by the world and by Satan will go to this scripture,
mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 2. Now, we're going to read this scripture, and we're going to let the Bible define its own terms.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible defines the word as the law and the testimony,
mm-hmm.
for instance. The Bible defines what is good as the law, Romans 7 and 12.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay. So let's look at Romans 2, starting at verse 8.
Uh-huh.
But unto them, and this is like a condition of the covenant.
Uh-huh.
Because remember, the Lord told Moses to tell our people back in the day, choose life or death. You either obey and get life or disobey and get death. Okay? Verse 8 of Romans 2. But unto them that are contentious, meaning don't want to hear the word, got an excuse to go against the word, can't be corrected according to the word, and do not obey the truth. What is the truth? Well, Christ was the truth. He came with the truth. Coming out of his mouth was the truth. What he always said? He was always saying, it is written.
Uh-huh.
It is written. Then what? It is written in your law. Isn't it this? Or isn't it that? Didn't it right here? You err not knowing the scriptures.
Uh-huh.
That's what Christ is talking about. The truth is in the scriptures.
Uh-huh.
Psalms 119, 142.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And do not obey the truth. So them that don't want to obey, remember, the Israelites told Moses to tell the Lord, all that you commanded in this book of covenant, we will obey.
Uh-huh.
But then they turned around and didn't do it.
Right.
That's why they ended up in captivity, even now in the New Testament, under the Roman Empire.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, sin, you're going to get indignation and wrath. You're going to get the judgment from the Lord that is correct for the error that you committed.
That's right.
Okay?
That's part of the covenant.
Yes.
We're going to go into
that's the backside of the covenant.
Right.
That's not the for us, that's not the good side. That's the bad side of the covenant.
Right.
But it's written in plain English.
Right.
Or whatever language you read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 9. Tribulation also, and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Okay? Verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. What is good? The law.
Right.
The law and the testimony equals the word
right.
that you have to have. You have to speak according to have Christ in you. So
now,
Christ was speaking that word.
In the beginning, when we read in Exodus 24,
mm-hmm.
what did we agree to?
The book of the covenant. All the words and the tenor, the whole tone of the lifestyle that the Lord was telling us we had to lead.
Exactly. And he said we would what? Obey it and
mm-hmm.
do it. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What is this bringing us back to? Work is good. What is
covenant.
That?
The
obeying
law.
And doing it.
Yeah, and
right.
righteous. What is
exactly.
righteous?
Exactly.
Okay.
The Most High's words. So
okay.
Right.
Yep.
So it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Go ahead,
verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace. This glory, honor, and peace all comes from us obeying the words of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
His laws, statutes, commandments, judgments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To every man that worketh good, we can go right here to Romans 7. And 12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good. Right there in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So now, this is the scripture that the world uses to bring in all nations. Now, this is an excuse that our people use to say that they can get salvation, even though they do what they want to do.
Right.
When they, if they will read the scriptures, would find out that they're the chosen people. They think they're not the chosen people when the Bible says they are, and they're trying to sneak in through the back door when the Lord says there is no back door.
Exactly. Because what he's dealing with is he's dealing with the church and the authority of the church in Rome.
Exactly.
And he's getting them to understand repentance through Christ and them understanding that the people that they count as outcasts, they can't do that.
Exactly.
Because these people are going to, whether they're in Ephesus, worshiping Diana, as the scripture said, some
yeah.
people are going to repent from that.
Exactly.
Or like in Acts the 18th and the 19th chapter, where the cast were into all the curious arts,
mm-hmm.
meaning witchcraft and all kind of, you know, evil. They burned the books and repented and returned to Christ.
Exactly.
These were all his people that were scattered into all these doctrines. No different than when the Greeks came in with the Hellenist thing. And
exactly.
a lot of Israelites fell into calling themselves Greek. That's why the
yes.
scriptures refer to them sometimes as what?
As
Greek.
Greeks. They're like
right.
Timothy's father.
Right, exactly.
Timothy's father was into Hellenism because
right,
they
exactly.
called him a Greek. But
right, exactly. But
Timothy knew.
Still the outcasts of Israel that have dispersed. That's why this covenant is so perfect. It's so complete because we're looking at the things that the Most High was going to do with his covenant for his covenant people.
Exactly.
And even us that are called, it's no different than what we call ourselves what? Because we born in America, what do we call ourselves?
I'm an American.
I'm an American. That's not the father of your family.
Exactly.
Then you say, I'm an African American. That's another rock, a landmass. There's no father on the landmass of the land. Africa is not even named after the indigenous people of that rock.
It's named after a Roman general
that conquered Africa.
Yeah, and defeated Hannibal.
Exactly.
Or fought Hannibal.
Yeah, he defeated him.
Yeah.
They got him specially due to defeat Hannibal.
He's
Scipio Africanus.
Yeah, he grew up studying this.
Right.
But
so Africa was named after him, just like America was named after Amerigo Vespucci, and none of those people are in our lineage. So it's the same thing that was going on then with the dispersed, but they're still part of what? The covenant seed.
Exactly.
Go back to Psalms 105, and then I want to go somewhere else, because that was a good point you made about the Gentiles.
Because
people get it screwed up, because they'll read the stuff, and it's all Israel. Yeah. Then it says, oh, no.
But,
see, it's everybody.
Yeah, but you know what? When the Lord, Christ, used Moses to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, they were Gentiles then.
Exactly.
Because they were all caught
in.
They were all caught up. Well, it tells you that all of them except Joshua and Caleb basically was caught up into, no, we want to serve Baal. We want to make idols. We want to murmur.
Right.
We want to, I can have spiritual power too. Who is Moses?
Right. A perfect example of that is, what did they resort to when Moses went on the mountain for 40 days or 40 nights?
These are the gods that brought us out of Egypt.
They just popped out of nowhere with this knowledge about how to build the golden calf and Baal worship and all these other idols.
They got that from Egypt.
That's what they got from the practices that they were into. So they were in a what? Gentile mindset.
Exactly.
So Most High brought them in the wilderness to do what?
Clean
1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4.
Exactly.
Baptize them and feed them with what? Spiritual meat and spiritual drink.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that they was following was who? Christ.
Exactly.
So now, it's the same covenant people with the same problem. That's what our problem is. You want to understand why the things befall us the way it befalls us today? Oh, they stole the vote in 2000. They disenfranchised black folks. Why? Because you have no power and no say in this setup. And you're seeking and putting your faith in wicked men that have set up this society. It is not our society, and it's not our hope, it's not our salvation. Only through the Lord can his people get their salvation, and this is why we're reading this.
Exactly.
We read the scripture in Psalms 111 and 9, it says he sent redemption to his people.
Exactly.
That was Christ, we read it. Christ was the deliverer in Romans 11 and 27 that was sent based on what? Him remembering his covenant.
Exactly.
So now, I'm going to read Psalms 105 over again, and we're going to deal with it because this is all good points coming out to deal with the covenant seed. Psalms 105, verse 6. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever.
Forever?
Yeah.
Forever?
The word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. So that covenant passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, whose names was changed to Israel, who was the father of what? The 12 tribes of Israel. So now, go to Luke, the first chapter. And we're going to read the same thing in the first chapter. Christ as that redeemer to what? That nation. Luke, the first chapter, starting at verse 68. It reads, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Now, we're in the New Testament, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Who did he choose? Jacob, his chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Israel confirmed the covenant for everlasting with the what? Law.
Exactly.
That's why it said when we entered into that covenant, the confirmation was what? Everything that you say, Most High, according to what you write in the book of the covenant, we will obey and do. That's what we said, right?
Yep.
Okay. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. You just read that in Isaiah 11. The root from Jesse is David.
Yep.
Coming through that line would be who? Christ.
Exactly.
We know it. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So now, this is nothing that has changed. It's been from the beginning. We know it. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us.
Hold on one second. When you said earlier that political power, political disenfranchisement, all this stuff, well, we can't, woe is me.
Right.
No, because you're not going according to the Lord.
Exactly.
Why did the Lord send Christ?
Right.
Why did the Most High send Christ?
So who should we be putting our faith and trust in?
The Most High
for our deliverance.
The Most High through
Christ. Thank you. Because it tells you that's what he did for his covenant people. It says one of the reasons Christ came was to do what? That we should be saved from our enemies and all the hand of them that hate us. Why? Mm-hmm. Because the powers that be on this earth has totally annihilated or attempted to totally annihilate the remembrance of his people out of the earth.
Exactly.
Even the very elect, the people, don't even know who they are.
Yep.
They call themselves Puerto Rican, a rich port after a landman. They call themselves Dominican after Dominican Republic, Española. They call themselves Spaniards. They call themselves African, Canadian, American, you name Mexican, whatever.
Bolivian.
Because they scattered all over the four corners of the earth, what, lost their identity.
Exactly.
This is what the enemy has done. And our people are just in la-la land, brainwashed and destroyed mentally. Why? Because they're not speaking to who? The Most High is through his son Christ. So one of the things he came to do was what? That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. To perform the mercy promise to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to perform, this is verse 72, Luke 1, verse 72, to perform the mercy promise to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, then to Isaac,
then
and
to
confirm
Jacob.
The same to Jacob
for
and the law.
Yep.
This ain't dealing with everybody, all other people. It's dealing with the Israelites. And you know what? Whatever Gentile mindset that the Israelites are, we can come back. That's the beauty of this covenant.
Exactly.
And the perfectness, the perfected points of this covenant, where it doesn't matter where we at, what philosophy we're in, what state we're in, we can all come back through who? Christ, who's going to reconcile us to what? One God through his only begotten Son.
Exactly.
Back to the nation of Israel, worshiping the Most High and the Father according to what we agreed upon in the beginning when we entered into the covenant.
Exactly.
That's it. And that's what our people have to understand. This didn't change. We just read something in the Old Testament. In Psalms, now it says the same thing in the New Testament. So our people think that the Most High flip-flops and goes back and forth. Now, he sent his people here, but then he's bringing in everybody here because he said the whole world. The world was made for whose sake?
Israel's
sake. Everything that he's done. But our people are lost because they're trying to be what? Geek. All right, let's prove it one more time. Go to Romans 9. You read that and break it down.
Okay.
Go to Romans 9, read 1 through 5, and just go through it.
Okay. This is Romans.
Mainly the part about the covenants.
Exactly.
Right.
Romans 9, 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
His kinsmen according to the flesh, verse 4 of Romans 9, who are Israelites. To whom pertaineth the adoption? So pertain means belongs to.
Right.
Okay. It's only to Israelites.
Right.
The adoption back to the covenant through the sacrifice of Christ and also the teaching of Christ to bring us from that Gentile mindset like we were in Egypt. Exactly. Gentile mindset or sin, whatever, from sin back into his commandments that we're supposed to obey from the beginning,
right,
through the remission of sin.
Right.
Okay. Who pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants. So what are the covenants? Moses, everything that the Lord tells you to tell us to do, we will do. But don't let him speak to us because we're so scared of him.
Exactly.
We're going to die.
Exodus
20.
Right.
And Deuteronomy 30.
Right.
Choose therefore life or death.
Right.
Obey
right.
equals life. Disobey equals death.
Right.
And the giving of the law was given to Israel.
Right.
Remember, the law and the testimony
right.
is the words that we should be living according to. And the service of God and the promises.
Whose are the fathers?
Yep. Whose are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac,
and
Jacob.
Right.
Okay. Well, verse 5 of Romans 9. Whose are the fathers? So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob obtained these promises
mm-hmm.
for us, their
mm-hmm.
seed. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, so only people whose ancestors are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or only people whose ancestry is of Israel, according to the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
Christ came. So Christ came to give us not only those teachings and everything, but that sacrifice for our sins and ignorance so that we could come back and get adopted back as sons. Okay? Who is over all, God bless forever. Amen.
Right.
So that's basically the summation of everything right there.
Exactly. Because now what were we doing? Going in the show, why did the Most High just send Christ? Because it shows you in, we read it in Psalms 111 and 9, he sent redemption to his people. Why did they need redemption? Because they broke the covenant.
And we were off.
And we were going off into sin. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We went against the agreement.
Exactly.
And when we, what the things we were doing to break the covenant was what? Going against his laws, statutes, commandments. Because that's what the book of the covenant was all about.
Mm-hmm.
When you read Exodus 24, verses 4 through 7. Exodus 32, verses 27 and 28. It tells you what the covenant was about. And because we broke those things, that automatically landed us to be what? A sinful people.
Exactly.
So who had to come to redeem us?
Christ.
Christ. I'll read it again.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 11, verse 26.
27.
And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, the Israelites, when I shall take away their sins. Who pertaineth to what nation of people does the adoption, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises pertain to? Israelites, according to the flesh. That's what Romans 9 is showing you.
Exactly.
Now, to put any other nation into that, you're doing grievous things in the sight of the Most High. Because he didn't intend it that way. Old and new.
Yep.
You have to understand what words and context of words mean. We were a scattered nation, so what? The ones that claimed that they knew that they were Israel were calling the other ones what? Gentiles.
Exactly. Matter of fact, let's prove that, because we can go to John 7, I believe it
right.
is, in 35.
Right.
Okay.
33, I think.
It starts at 33. Well, this is when John 7 is talking about when Christ went up to the feast. Okay, and then the Jews were seeking to kill him. Okay, so the people were saying, well, they should kill him because he's bugging out. And then other people are saying, listen, can an evil man do so many miracles? These cats don't even know he's the Christ. You know, so this is where it's leading up to. We're going to start in John 7:32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him.
Mm-hmm.
Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. So he was talking about his crucifixion,
mm-hmm.
and then when he was going to end up going back up, sit on the right-hand side of the Most High.
Acts 1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 34 of John 7. You shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 35. Then said the Jews, these are the Pharisees and the chief priests that sent officers and taken. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither, meaning where? Where will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed,
meaning the scattered. Why? From the curses for disobedience to the covenant. Mm-hmm. Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Mm-hmm. So is he going to go to the scattered of our people that are among the other nations and teach those Gentile mindset of people of our nation that live in the other nations, that have that other nation's mindset?
Right, exactly.
Is he going to go teach them?
Right.
And it says, what manner of saying is this? So they didn't really understand what he was talking
right.
about. But it shows you that these people even knew who the Gentiles was back then.
Exactly. They knew they were the ones of Israel dispersed among the other nations,
exactly.
indoctrinated into the beliefs of the other nations, just like what we got our people today. Indoctrinated into Catholicism,
baptism.
Well, just that
baptism.
Whole worldly Christian movement set up by the Catholic Church. That's what a Christian, when you say Christian today, it's people that, just love. They love God. Just love everybody, anybody. That was all set up by the ruling church or doctrine of Satan at the time coming from where? The so-called Holy Roman Catholic Church.
Exactly.
None of that. That's why they have to write other books, canonized laws, and all this other stuff, because that's the precepts of man, which is against the doctrine of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when you look at all of that, the same thing that was going on back then is the same thing you got now. The same people that the Most High made the covenant back then is the same people that he's dealing with now. The same people that Christ came for to deliver the people of that covenant is the same people now that he's trying to deal with. And this is what we have to get an understanding of. Now, when we look at it now, what happened to the people of the covenant? They disagreed. I want to go somewhere real quick.
Okay, okay.
Because this is the point. The status of the people today. Why are they in that state? Deuteronomy 1.
Deuteronomy 28
28
and
1.
That's the same exact place I was in.
Yeah, that's exactly. I'll read it real quick. Deuteronomy, I'm going to go through this, try to get to this. We've got like 10 more minutes. It says, Deuteronomy 28. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So Israel, according to the covenant, I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people, I'm going to set you on high above all nations, you're going to be the rulers of the earth in righteousness, right?
And read verse 2.
And it says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Okay, Moses, on the Most High, everything you wrote in that book of the covenant, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what was said, correct?
Yeah, but wasn't what was done, though.
Check this out. But now he gives them this is more specific conditions of that covenant and the agreement that the people entered in.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? You don't have one ruling class of people ruling in perfect righteousness with no sin on the earth, do you?
Nope.
All right. It's going to come a day when that's going to happen, and it's going to happen by the way of the Most High, not man.
Exactly.
So now let's read. The inner covenant was entered into with these people. It's an everlasting covenant, and the Most High put mechanisms in the earth based on his perfectness that going to make this covenant be realized, whether we believe or not.
Exactly.
So now, the condition was do and obey, blessing. This is the other condition, Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, deserve to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So now, for being obedient, walking in the covenant, and doing it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Blessings. For not obeying, what's going to happen?
Curses. And don't get it twisted.
And
this ain't Harry Potter's teacher in a back room somewhere mixing an eye and noose
exactly.
and a horsetail and a daisy leaf and some stuff like that and a cauldron
right.
and then saying poof.
Right.
This is the Most High doing this. Curses.
Exactly. It's a perfect thing. So perfect you don't even know what it is.
Exactly.
A lot of us don't. So I'm going to continue with Deuteronomy and go over on what the curses is going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. This is part of the condition of the covenant. We agree.
Exactly. Yeah.
Deuteronomy 28:45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to what? Keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. That was what was written in the book of the covenant.
Exactly.
Exodus 24, 4 through 7, Exodus 32, 27 and 28.
Exactly.
Check this out. These curses now, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed, for what?
Forever.
Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies. Who did Christ come to deliver his people from in Luke 1?
Their enemies.
And all them that hate us.
Right?
Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until you have been destroyed. The yoke of iron upon our neck was literally a yoke of iron in a lot of cases. But in the Babylonian captivity, so on and so forth, all the way to the Roman captivity, what? They were literally putting us in chains. Even what? Cargo slave ship. That wasn't just a thing. That's a condition based on the covenant he made that he's going to put on his people for their disobedience.
Exactly.
Cargo slave ship. Us being sold as chattel was not something that was just a course of human events.
Exactly.
That was a promise that the Most High made would happen to us based on our disobedience to listening to his word. And now, we read that the signs of these curses are going to be upon his people forever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain select group of people on this earth, a nation of people, that's in subjection to what? All the other nations who what, whether we know it or not, are our enemies. Why? Because they have no good for us. They're trying to do what? Destroy the remembrance of Israel out of the face of the earth because what? We are the chosen seed of the Most High. So when you read Deuteronomy 28, you see the part of the covenant that we sometimes forget.
Exactly.
We forget why we ended up in captivity and slavery.
Yep. And you know what? You mentioned that yoke of iron upon our neck as being slavery, but there's a scripture in the same chapter describing some of these curses that goes specifically into being sold as slaves and transported by ships.
Exactly.
It just didn't happen one time. No, it didn't happen one time. Okay.
It just didn't happen one time.
Okay. It happened many times.
Come on over there. We'll run this one time. It happened many times when we were what? Compacted, and we still what? Our slaves.
We still control. We don't have a yoke of iron on our neck.
A literal yoke of iron.
We have a yoke of iron around our head because we think that we're caught up in this and we can't make anything better for ourselves.
Right. And now, this is what the Most High said. Remember, he said it pertained to all the people, right? Now, I'm going to read something in Jeremiah real quick. I just want to go back. We read it last week, but I want to go back again, but I want to continue on. If you read Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and you start at the 6th verse, and you read down to 8, down to the 10th verse, you'll find the same thing that Paul is saying, the same thing is being said by Jeremiah, but I'm going to continue on.
Okay.
All right? Reading Jeremiah 31, this is a future prophecy, and this is still coming to pass this day.
Exactly.
It ain't just one time it's going to happen. This is something that's happening now. Why? Because Israel is waking up to his identity.
Exactly.
This is what this scripture is talking about, what? The covenant. But it ain't talking about that other one that was made.
Yeah, it's talking about the new covenant.
Exactly, it's talking about the new covenant. So I'm going to read it real quick and keep going. And we'll probably end it right there. It says, Jeremiah 31, starting at verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they what? Break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 34. "And they shall teach no man, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Verse 35. "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon, and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven can, above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast out the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. So now, when you look at this covenant, it's everlasting, and he said he's going to make a new covenant with the same people, and it's showing you according to what is written here in Jeremiah when you continue from verses 35 on, that what? The Lord said, if you can do what? If you can
stop the sun and moon
from shining and doing their course, that's when Israel is going to be done away with.
Exactly.
Or if you can search out the depths of the sea or the depths of heights of space, that's when Israel will what? No longer be his people, and that's when the covenant will be done away with.
Exactly.
But until then, guess what? The covenant is what? Still done away with. Let me close out.
Still in effect.
Right. Since we got a little bit more time, I'm going to close out. How much time we got left there, Kelly? I'm going to close out with another scripture in Acts real quick.
Yeah, so we see that Israel is still a people before the Lord.
Exactly.
Like it says here. And this is basically what Paul was quoting in Romans.
Exactly. Well, Romans 8.
Excuse me, Hebrews 8.
Hebrews 8, the 8th chapter, verses 6 to 10.
Yep.
I'm going to read Acts, the 3rd chapter, starting at verse 19. This is the point that we have to understand. This is for the Israelites, because he tells you that in Acts 3:13. But we get down to Acts 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20. And he shall send Christ, which before was preached unto you. 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly saith unto fathers, a prophet shall your God raise up unto you, of your brother like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever ye shall say. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as spoken, have likewise foretold on these days. Verse 25 is the point. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. We hope our people hear, understand, and repent, and we say so.
Telling us the Body of Christ Repentance Network, www.thebocc.com.